Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'd like to speak to you this morning about the believer's thought life. The believer's thought life. One verse, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. Father, we ask today that you might help us to understand this passage, to understand the importance of having a proper thought life, because we know that the way we think is the way we really are. So Lord, just convict us today from your word. If there are corrections need to be made in our lives, help us to make those. We know, Lord, the thought life is a private thing. And so we don't know people's thought life today, but we know it's not private to you because you do know it. So in the privacy of each heart, I pray you would deal with each one that we might know the importance of this subject. If there's someone here who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day they put their faith and trust in you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We are told by experts who study the human brain that it is always active, even when we are asleep. During sleep, the brain, and I quote, shows an intrinsic activity that remains independent of external stimuli or task. This high level of continuous activity in the brain is described as spontaneous, intrinsic, or resting state activity. The term resting state activity is rather paradox since it signifies the opposite of what the term itself says. The brain is never really at rest. And if it is at rest, it is dead. Brain dead, as the neurologist says. End of quote. Therefore, everyone has an active thought life. And your thought life determines the kind of person you are. The scripture says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 24, verse 8 says this, he that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. So what he devises in his mind determines what he is. So if you devise to do evil, then you are a mischievous person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said three abiding things are faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, he says, is love. And one of love's characteristics is that it thinks no evil. So the characteristic of love is developed a lot because of the way you think. When Jesus was confronted by unbelief of certain scribes who thought that Jesus blasphemed when he told the palsied man that his sins were forgiven, Jesus responded by saying this, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? In other words, their unbelief was an evil thought. And so they were the kind of person that they thought. When the scribes and Pharisees questioned Jesus about his disciples and said that they had eaten with unwashed hands, Jesus said this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll read his comments. He said in verse 11, Matthew 15, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Matthew 15. Now let's look at verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. And so it's from the heart that is determines really what you really are. And your heart is connected in a sense with your brain. You think what you think is what you really are. So your thoughts determine the kind of person that you are. Your thoughts can make you a proud person. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. If you look back in chapter 2, it's talking about the Lord Jesus. And of course, he was not proud. But it says in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is pride. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So the problem is your mind, the way you're thinking. And if you're a proud person, you're thinking wrong. And the correction for that is to be lowly and to be humble. And then he gives an example. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. So don't just be concerned about your things, but can be concerned about other people. And then he gives the example of Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, that is something to be grasped, hold on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus humbled himself and was willing to die for us on the cross of Calvary. God says, don't be proud, be humble. But the way you think determines whether you're a proud person. Also, the Bible tells us that your thoughts can make you an adulterer. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, it says this, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. So you can be an adulterer and never commit the act of adultery because you do it in your mind. And the Bible says if you lust upon a woman in your mind and you commit in your mind that act of adultery, you are an adulterer. Now, other people might not know that, but God knows it. And God says that's what you are. Your thoughts can make you a murderer. The Bible says in 1 John 3, verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So if you have hatred for your brother and you just wish him dead, then you're a murderer. Maybe you never committed the murder itself, but in your mind you are. And that person who is that, if they ever commit the murder, it's because they had it in their mind, first of all. They were a murderer from the beginning, from their thought life, and they acted that out and committed the murder. Back in Matthew chapter 15, we read it a while ago, it says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers and adulteries. So from the heart, you are what you, the heart determines and your mind determines what you really are. What you think is what you are. Proverbs 4, verse 23, this shows that this is very important for us to realize. Because when we realize that our thought life is very important, then we understand how serious it is that we deal with this. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's your heart like? What's your mind like? What do you think about? Whoever controls your mind, you might say, controls you. The world, the flesh, and the devil, if that controls your mind, makes you determines what you think about all the time, then that's opposed to the Lord. So if you want God to control your mind, you can't let the world, the flesh, and the devil control your mind. And who you let control your mind is who you let control you. So the mind is very important. So your thought life is really a war zone. Your thought life is a war zone because thoughts are all the time going through your mind. And we've shown from experts say that the mind is never inactive. It's always active unless it's dead. And so you're thinking thoughts. And so your thought life becomes a war zone, and that's spelled out in the book of Ephesians. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Lord talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Well, we'll read verse 11 to begin with. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil has wily ways. He has stratagems that he uses to trip people up. And he has in his mind what he wants to do. And so you have to put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against that. And then he says, verse 13, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a war zone going on in your mind, and we have to control that. And the way we do it is to put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces who are working on us to change our mind. And so he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You notice this armor of God is not physical things. These are things connected to the mind. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, you're doing right, you want to do right, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's a message on your heart that you want to share, and that's the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that's believing God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, knowing that you're saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. And so all these things are spiritual things that help us fight that battle that's going on in our mind of all these thoughts, and we need to have victory. It's spelled out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I put the verse in your bulletins this morning at the head of the bulletin. And it says 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, that's in your mind, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, notice this, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So there's a war going on in your mind, and the question is, who's going to win that war? If we're going to be the person that God wants us to be, we must yield to the Holy Spirit who works in our life as a Christian and yield to Him and obey Him. Now, this is a battle. And even Paul, the beloved Apostle Paul, said that in Romans chapter 7. You remember he said in Romans 7 that I have a battle going on, and those things I want to do, I end up not doing. Those things I don't want to do, then I end up doing. And so he was facing that battle in his mind. Even Paul had evil thoughts go through his mind. And he was facing that battle. And he cried out and said, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was so honest that when he told about himself, he said, if you only knew what goes through my mind. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he said this, who shall deliver me? And the answer came back, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said what Jesus said. Remember in John chapter 15, Jesus said this, without me, you can do nothing. So can you have victory over your mind? Can you have victory over your thoughts? The Lord says, no, not in of yourselves. It takes the Lord. And the Lord wants to give you victory. And He can give you victory. And Paul said, who shall deliver me? And his answer was, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ did deliver him. He had victory over that. But he tells us the struggle that he faced because we face that same struggle. And if you're honest, all of you here face the struggle of things in your mind and thoughts in your mind. So let's consider some things about the believer's thought life this morning. The first thing I want to mention, and we'll look at four different things. The first thing I want to mention is this. The believer's thought life must include the Word of God. You are helpless if you don't do that. That's why I want you to remember the verses. We made them out on verse cards up here, so you can pick up a verse card. You can put it in your pocket or in your purse or something, and so you can bring it up during the month, and you can try to remember that verse, and it's very important that we hide the Word of God in our hearts. And this is the verse for this month, Philippians 4:8. And so it's important that the thought life include the Word of God. John 15, verse 7 says, remember Jesus said in verse 5, without me you can do nothing. And then he tells you how you can do it with him. Because he says this, he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And so the Lord's answer is, the way that Jesus can help you is through His words, if my words abide in you. Turn back with me to Psalm 119. It's the longest section of Scripture in the Bible. I don't call it a chapter because the Psalms are really not chapters. The Psalms are Psalms. And so at the heading of your Bible in the book of Psalms, you don't see chapter 1, chapter 2. You see Psalm. It's the 10th Psalm or the 100th Psalm or whatever it is. But Just look with me in Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Whether shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from my commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The song we heard this morning, Lord, I want to know you. Well, it says here, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So how do we have victory in this battle that's going on in our mind? It has to include the word of God. Look at the same chapter, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God hidden in the heart will be a built-in radar, you might say, to detect wrong thoughts. And so when you have the word in your heart, it'll be a thing that helps you detect wrong things. And so this battle is going on. How are you going to win the battle? Well, you have to include the word of God. You see, there is absolute truth. The world doesn't think so. The world denies that there's absolute truth. It all depends, they say. But God says there's absolute truth, and that absolute truth is found in the word of God. John 17, verse 7 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read it a while ago, take on the whole armor of God. The offensive weapon that we have there, the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's an interesting thing in that passage when it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word used there for the word is not a normal word we find, logos, but it's the word rhema, and that means it's a particular part of the word of God. You see, when you face a trial, you don't face that trial and say, oh, I got to know a whole Bible. No, the Spirit of God will bring a verse to your heart, to bring a verse to your mind that you've hidden in your heart, and the Lord will take that verse. It's like a little sword. He brings it up, and he says, use this. And you remember that's what Jesus did when he fought the devil. And the devil was trying to get him to sin. Jesus says, it is written. And he brought up the word of God, and he used the word. So the Lord will bring a passage up to you. It doesn't have to be the whole Bible, but it'll bring a passage to help you. But you need the word of God if you're going to fight this battle for your mind. And so you need God's word. So spend time each day in the word of God, praying and asking the Lord to help you. Hide the word of God in your heart. You need the word of God. The second thing I want to talk about as far as the thought life is, the believer's thought life should actively reject wrong thinking. You should actively reject wrong thinking. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. Now, we saw that happening in Paul in Romans chapter 7. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And his answer was Jesus. So he was rejecting the wrong things and wanting deliverance. But in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord tells us some things that we are to reject. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind. So he says, don't walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Everybody has a mind. Everybody has thoughts going through them. Those who don't know the Lord, don't want anything to do with the Lord, they think the wrong thoughts, and there's all these wicked things going on and things that are not important going on in their mind. The Lord says, don't be like the other Gentiles are. In verse 22, he says, put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So no deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 25, he says, put away lying. So don't lie anymore. In verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So no bad talking, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31, put away bitterness, put away wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. Put those away. They shouldn't be a part of it. And so in order to have the right thought life, you've got to reject some things. And that is, these are some of the things you need to reject. verse 3 and 4 of chapter 5. He says, do away with fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Jesting is turning everything into something immoral. You've known of people like that. You're just talking about normal things and they'll turn it into something bad. And that's jesting. And he says, foolish talking, filthiness, put that out of your mind. You've got to reject those things. Chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And so for the child of God, we have to include the Word of God in our thought life, and we have to reject the wrong kind of thoughts. And we do that by saying no, but then when sin comes in through our minds, then we have to confess it. And I believe that almost every Christian would have to say this. Well, not almost, but everyone. Every Christian would have to say that your thought life, because there are thoughts that go through your mind that aren't right, you have to often say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of that. And you have to nip it in the bud. And you have to say that it's wrong. And the Lord says that we're going to have those thoughts, but confess those things and don't let them get the victory over them. Reject them. As someone has said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep a bird from making a nest in your hair. And that's a good distinction. You know, thoughts will come and we'll say, oh, that's terrible. I don't want to think that. And Lord, forgive me. And we need to do that. We need to do that and cast away those thoughts. And the best form of rejecting wrong thoughts is to put walls up to keep them out. And just on a little political note, walls do work. But they work in your mind too. You have to have walls up to keep those things out. It's not enough just to say, well, they'll go through my mind, but I'll reject them and I'll confess it and I'll tell the Lord, I'm sorry I thought that. Well, you got to do some things to keep that from happening. The other day we were coming back from Florida, and we had rented a car for the week, and we had turned that rental car back in at Tampa Airport. And to get to turn the rental car in, you get on this automated train. There's nobody running the thing; it's all automated, and it'll tell you where you're going. And it's almost a mile from where you turn your car in to the terminal. And so you get on that and it takes you to the terminal. Now, the reason we got on that train was because we wanted to go to the terminal. Well, you know, it's the same way with your thought life. If you don't want to go somewhere, don't get on the train that leads you there. If you don't want to end up in morality in your life, don't get on the immoral train. Don't think those thoughts. Don't entertain them. If you don't want to steal from somebody, if the very temptation actually comes to you, just reject it right away. Don't get on that train. Don't start down that path, because it'll lead you to the wrong place. And so you must put up walls. Walls would be something like this. You don't read bad literature. There's a lot of it out there today. Just don't read it. Never view pornography. Never. I'm glad I can say that I have never once looked at a pornographic site on the internet. I don't intend to. It might happen by accident. It comes up. I hope it never does. But I don't ever want to do that. And I don't. I remember when I was in seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. Went to the post office. My wife and I hadn't been married that long. You know, I think we had a child or so. But I was just a young man. Went to the post office, picked up this package, and opened up this package, and it was filthy pornography. And I still, after all those years, that's been 40-some years, I still remember those images. And it was filthy pornography. I turned right around after I opened and saw what it was. I turned around and went back to the post office, and I told them, I said, I got this. I never ordered this. I don't ever want to get anything like this. Please keep this from happening. They said, there's a form you can fill out. And I filled out the form and told them never to send that to me again. Why? I don't want to get on that train, because that train is going to lead to the wrong place. And so you've got to put up walls in your life, and you have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Refuse to listen to dirty jokes. I think a Christian should be one that if you're in a break room or something at work and they start the dirty jokes, you just walk out. And you don't laugh. You don't sit there and entertain those things, because those things will stay in your mind too. And so you have to protect your mind. You have to build walls. Reject suggestive music and evil things in music. Young people are faced with this because there's all kind of music out there today. And you put your headphones on and you listen to this music. And you have to admit that some of those lyrics are wrong. They talk about immorality and they talk about the lovers doing this and that. And you know they're not married. You know they're not doing right. Don't listen to that stuff. Reject it. Put a wall up and say, I'm not going to do it. Because you have to if you want to keep your mind right. And so your mind is very important. Reject TV programs that are inappropriate. The other night, my wife and I were watching a program. We got into this, the plot of the program. It was good and everything. And all of a sudden comes this out of nowhere. I thought, oh my goodness. But I have to admit, the plot was so good. We thought, well, that won't happen again. So, but then we went a little bit longer, and then it got worse. And I said, that's it. Turn it off. I don't care what happens in the plot. I don't want to see it. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want anything to do with it. You've got to do that. You've got to put up walls and say, I won't. So you've got to reject the wrong. And so, what about your thought life? Well, first of all, a thought life of a believer must include the Word of God. Also, the thought life of a believer must reject wrong thoughts. And then thirdly, the thought life of the believer should actively pursue good thoughts. Actively pursue good thoughts. And that's where this verse comes in. Philippians 4:8, this is the verse. Think on these things. He gives you a list of eight things, and he says, think on these things. I looked it up in my Greek lexicon and found out that the word think is an imperative. It's a command. Think on these things. God commands you to think on these things. So we've got to think right thoughts, and it's not just, every once in a while. No, you intentionally, actively pursue right thoughts. And here's what he tells you to think about. Think on things that are true. That's interesting. The Bible tells us that God is a God of truth. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, He is a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is a God of truth. The fruit of the Spirit is truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. A part of the Christian's armor is truth. You remember we read it a while ago in Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. It says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. And so we're to have on the truth. We're to know the truth. And we're to use the truth. We're to obey the truth. And Christians should hide the truth in their hearts. The Bible says in John 8, 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth. How are you going to know the truth? Well, you've got to read the truth. You've got to do it on your own in private. You've got to be in church to hear it. You've got to know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Our thoughts should be true. They should be true about several things. First of all, our thoughts should be true about ourselves. Are your thoughts true about yourself? They probably are. But do you betray that? Sometimes, people... they don't think well of themselves, but they try to do everything to make themselves acceptable and look good. And it's surprising what people do to their body and put on their body and put in their body and all that to make outward appearance look acceptable. And it's all because they don't think good of themselves. And they're trying to make it look like they're acceptable. And so the Lord says, think on things that are true, true about yourselves. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know who you are. I know who I am. Let's be genuine. Let's not be hesitant to say when you're wrong that I'm wrong. I made a mistake. I'm not perfect. But be who you are. Be genuine about yourself. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are true about others. Do not imagine about others things that are not true. That's where gossip comes in, some people get on the gossip train and they just tear people. They heard something and they're just glad to tell it. And they know down in their heart to tell them things that they don't know are true. But they've just got to share it. I knew a lady one time that that it bothered her if she wasn't the first one to tell something. In fact, after I left West Virginia, she found out something that I knew as pastor that I didn't tell her. It was none of her business. And I'm not even there anymore. I've been away for a while. And she writes me a letter and says, I'm all upset about you because you didn't tell us this. Well, it wasn't your business to know it. Some people, you know, they're all the time wanting to know something. They want to pass it on, and they're a gossip. But think about things that are true about others. You know, one thing that we have a problem with sometimes is motives. We'll say something like this, I know why they did that. No, you don't. You don't know why they did that. Well, I think I know. Well, say you think you know. Don't say you know, because you don't know. You don't know their thoughts. You don't know their motives. You don't know that. You can see outward things, but you don't know the intent of their heart. So don't say, I know why. You don't know why. And so think on things that are true about other people. Think on things that are true about the world. Don't live in an imaginary world. You know, I know a little bit of science fiction is okay if you know it's science fiction, but don't live in the imaginary world or people just love these scary, horrifying movies, and they just love to fill their minds. Don't live in that imaginary world. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are true, because God wants us to be true. You know, there's a danger here with the video games and Facebook and all of that. How many things are read by people that are not true, and they'll pick it right up? And the Lord says, think on things that are true. How many young people and sometimes older people are so involved in these games and they're killing people? Well, I just wonder about that. You're killing all these multitudes of people, but make sure that your mind doesn't live there. Think on things that are true, because the mind is something that God thinks very seriously about, and He wants us to have true thoughts in our mind, truth about problems. People worry about things that they don't know are true. And God says, think on things that are true. You know, you face a big problem that you don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'll tell you something that's true for the child of God. God says, all things will work together for good to those that love the Lord. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Be willing to take God at His word and accept things that you know are true. And claim those and think about those things. Someone did a study one time and said 8% of the things people worry about were actually legitimate matters of concern. 92% of the things that people worry about was either imaginary, never happened, or involved matters over which people had no control whatsoever. And yet they spent their time worrying about it. Worry is a terrible thing. What is worry? It's the opposite of thinking on things that are true. I mean, don't worry about it. Give it to God and claim what you know is true. The Lord loves you. He always will. Nothing can separate you from His love. He's promised that He'll work things together for good. He says if you're going through a trial, it's because in some way you need to learn something from that trial. And the Lord will bring you through that trial and make you a better person. Just leave it up to the Lord and do what is right and think on things that are true. And then He says, think on things that are honest. Honest. The word honest means honorable. It means dignified, worthy of veneration or regard. Nobly serious, and sometimes in the Bible it appears as the word grave. Now, I have to say, you know, it says in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, deacons must be grave. That doesn't mean dead. It doesn't mean dead. It means deacons must be honorable. They must be nobly serious. They must be people who have noble thoughts and do noble things. Thoughts that are important or significant or not foolish. Think about important stuff, God is saying. Whatsoever things are honest or honorable, think about important stuff. Also, think about things that are just. The word just means correct or right. Think about things that are right. righteous, in accordance with the divine standard, according to God's will, think on things that are right. We have to ask ourselves the question, is this thought that's going through my mind in harmony with God's will? Think on things that are right. Also, he said, think on things that are pure. Well, that's opposed to what the world puts out today, isn't it? Think on things that are pure. The world puts out all kinds of things to make your mind think on impure things. And the Lord says, think on things that are pure. Means chaste, stainless, pure as a virgin. It's used in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22 says, keep thyself pure. James 3:17 says, wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Wisdom that comes from above is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3 says, Jesus is coming back and he's going to make us to be like himself. He's going to give us a brand new body to be like in him. And he says, every man that hath this hope in him, that assurance that Lord's coming back, he's going to give us a brand new body. Every man that hath this hope in him keeps himself pure, even as he is pure. And so just knowing that Jesus is coming back and he's going to give us a sinless body, like the body he had when he rose from the grave, just knowing that's coming should have a purifying effect on our lives. Keep yourself pure. Think on things that are pure. Then he says, think on things that are lovely. Lovely means pleasant, pleasing, attracts to itself, something that's just desirable. We should not be sour, crabby, irritable, fault-finding, bitter people. That's not desirable to anybody. Nobody likes to be around those people. What makes people that kind of person? It's because of their thought life. It's because they think on things that discourage them and bring them down, and they become bitter, and they don't get older and sweeter. They get older and bitter. But God wants us to be sweet. And the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men, this passage. And the word moderation means sweet reasonableness. We should be known as sweet, reasonable people. How do we ever become that? Because we think that way. We think on things that are lovely. Our lives should be lovely because we think on lovely things. Also, he says, think on things that are of good report. Good report means well-sounding, appealing, what rings true. You know, the thought comes to your mind, you say, now, wait a minute. Is that right? Is that something I should be thinking about? And the Lord gives you a spiritual tuning fork, you might say. When you put the Word of God in your heart and the Holy Spirit uses that and directs you, the Lord uses you can use your spiritual tuning fork to determine whether something sounds true, whether it rings true. And so think on things that are of good report, that sounds good. I mean, it has a good ring to it. Think on good things. And then he says, think on things that are virtuous. If there be any virtue, the word virtue means moral excellence. It includes the purity and all of that. Moral excellence. Think on things that are morally excellent. And then he says, think on things that are praiseworthy. Whatsoever things, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise means things worthy of praise. Can I praise God for my thoughts? What I just thought, can I praise God for it? If we can't, then we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Give me victory over that. So we should actively pursue the right kinds of thoughts. And those are true thoughts, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. Think on those things. And then fourthly, I'd like to say this about the believer's thought life. When the believer's thought life is correct, it'll produce good results. When your thought life is correct, it'll produce good results. Let's look at the passage, Philippians chapter 4, and let's see what it says following this verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He's told us what we should think on. Then verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Paul, they had heard it from Paul, they'd learned it from Paul, they'd seen it in Paul's life. And he says, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. What's a good result of proper thought life? One result is this, obedience. If you want to obey God, think right. If you want to disobey God, don't think right. And really, that says it in a nutshell. If you think right, like God says, then you're going to obey Him. When you start wrong thinking, then you disobey the Lord. Some people start wrong thinking about morality, and they think on something in their mind for a while, and then it begins to look appealing and all that, and the Lord says, no, just throw it out. Don't think about that. Reject it. Because if you don't, you're going to pay. So thinking the right things are going to bring obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So obedience is a result of thinking right. Right thinking will produce right living. And then another result is this, peace. If you want your mind at peace, if you want to have peace in knowing the Lord and following the Lord and be at peace even in the midst of troubles. You remember Paul still on that ship and all hope that they would be saved was gone. And he stood up and says, be of good cheer. I believe God. So in the midst of the storm, he had peace and told the men to be of good cheer because he believed God. So if you're thinking right, it'll produce peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 again says, and the God of peace shall be with you. A mind in harmony with God will produce peace. Psalm 119, verse 68 or 165 says this, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You ever met people who are offended by so many things? I'm there all the time being offended. Well, the Lord says, if you think right, the Lord will give you a peace, and nothing shall offend you, because you know that you're right with God, and God's going to take care of things, and you can trust Him. You don't have to worry. You can trust Him, and it gives you peace. Proverbs 3, verse 2 says, let thy heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let your heart keep you His commandments, and that involves your mind. Then the Lord will give you length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. And then notice in our text in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means to be anxious, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then in verse 11, he says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to abound, how to be abased and how to abound. I'm everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said this, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Where does that contentment come from? The contentment and the peace comes from thinking right. Now, I remind you where Paul was when he wrote this and where Paul was when he wrote Ephesians. He was in jail. He was in prison in Rome. Prison, imprisoned, and accompanied by a centurion all the time. He was in prison in Rome, and he wrote this. And he says, I'm content all the time. How in the world could Paul be content in prison? His mind was working right. He was thinking on the right things. He was thinking on the positive things. He was counting his blessings. He was praising the Lord for his promises. He trusted the Lord. His mind was right, and therefore peace came. If your mind's wrong, there won't be any peace. And then finally, there's one other thing I'd like to say from this passage, and there are others I know. But this is another result of having the proper thought life, and it's found in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's called confidence. Confidence. A person with the right mind has confidence, and he can trust the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me close by saying this. Today we've examined something about the believer's thought life. We've looked at the fact that it should include the Word of God. It also should include rejecting wrong thoughts. It also should be actively pursuing good thoughts. And then we need to remember that there's rewards, there's good results that come by thinking right. Now, I end the message by saying this. Even though I've talked about your thought life and my thought life, you don't know mine and I don't know yours. I don't know what's in your mind. I don't know what you've been thinking about this week. I don't know if any of you viewed pornography this week. I don't know. But I'll tell you somebody who does, and that's the Lord. He knows your thoughts. You know, remember the Bible in the Gospels pictures the Lord confronting his enemies, and they get really upset. One of the reasons they're upset is because he knows what they're going to say before they say it. He can read their mind. He says, "Why reason ye among yourselves?" How'd he know they were reasoning among themselves? Because he knows our mind. And so God knows every thought that goes through your mind. So as you consider this message about the believer's thought in life, you have to say, now wait a minute, God knows all about it. The preacher doesn't, my wife doesn't, my husband doesn't, my kids don't, but God does know. He knows everything about my thought life. Knowing that to be true, we need to humbly bow before the Lord and say, Lord, you know all about it. You know what I've been thinking. And Lord, you've revealed to me that it's wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to give me victory over my thought life. Believe me, if you'll obey the Lord in your thought life, you'll start obeying the Lord concretely in the actions in your life. You'll have peace in your heart. And you'll have confidence that you never had before. Because you are obeying the Lord and your thoughts are what they should be. And then I want to close by saying this. What about the unbeliever? What if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior? God knows all about your thoughts as well. But he also knows about the greatest thought. Rather, not the greatest, but the worst thing about your thought life. And that is, you don't believe. If you know that Jesus died for you and you've never trusted him as your Savior, you know, belief is more than just a mental assent. It's an actually appropriation of the Lord and saying, Lord, I truly believe what you did for me, and I want you to be my Savior. I want you to save me. I trust you to do that. And you accept the Lord as your personal Savior. When you do that, the Lord will give you his Holy Spirit that will indwell your heart, and he will help you. He'll help you understand the Scripture. He'll help you with your life and correcting your thought life and all of that. And your thought life that you have is not what's going to be take to send you to hell. Your disobedience to the Lord, rather your unbelief on the Lord, that's what sends you to hell. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if you never trusted Jesus, you're in a position every one of us were at one time. And that is, we didn't know the Lord. But I have good news for you, and that is the Lord loves you. He died for you, and he wants to save you. And all it takes is you saying to the Lord, Lord, I truly believe that Jesus died for all my sins. And that he rose from the grave, and it's all paid for. And you will be my Savior if I just believe on you and trust you. Call upon you to save me. And the Lord says, he will. And that's a great thing. You see, God knows our thought life. Where does our thought life stand before the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for revealing to us this important subject. Lord, you know my thought life. You know everybody's thought life. And I pray that we might all realize that the one who knows about our thought life loves us. And you want the best for us. You want to give us victory. You want to make us confident. You want to give us peace. Lord, I just pray that we might deal with you today. And if you've convicted anyone here today about things in their life and their thought life that shouldn't be there, I pray that before you, they'll make it right. They don't have to tell me. I don't even need to know about it. Because our thought life is something only you know about. But Lord, I pray that we'll all be honest before you and we'll have victory in this matter of our life. Help us to think what is true. Lord, for that person that's not saved, help them to know that Jesus loves them and wants to be their Savior. And He'll save them if they'll only put their trust in You. Work in hearts, accomplish Your will, we ask in Jesus' name.